Blog Talk Radio.
Save you before, when I'm doing it again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to start off first, family, by reading a psalm. Psalm 8. It reads, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Yahweh, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Yahweh, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and his Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, who he has sent to lead us, to guide us, and to give us his Holy Spirit, to bring out truth for us, and to protect us from any hurt, from any harm, or from any danger. We thank you, Yahweh, for preserving us, for giving us life this day, on this holy Shabbat day, to be able to hear your voice, Abba Yah, to be able to rest with you as you are resting on this Shabbat day. I ask, Abba Yah, that you look after all the brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters that may be going through various afflictions, whether it's emotionally, whether it's mentally, whether it's spiritually or physically, Father. Put your hedge around them, Father. Put your wings around them, Father. Put your comforting arms around them, Father, and bring them close to your bosom, O Yah, so that their spirit may rest in peace upon your chest. Father, where we are weak, we need you. Where we are strong, we need you. We need your love. We need your kindness. We need your correction. We need you, Father, to be our eyes for us, to be our ears for us, Father. There are wolves out there, Father, that are disguising themselves as sheep. And Father, we just pray, as those sheep do, that as we cry out to you, Father, that you hear our voice, Father, and that you protect us, Father. And you correct us, Father, with your rod of correction and your hedge of protection, Father. We just ask now, Father, that your spirit commune with us and that you open our hearts, you open our minds, you open our eyes, and you open our ears, Father, to be receptive to all that you are trying to reveal and show unto us, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, once again, Mishpachah, this is your brother, Ahav Al, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is another lesson on Shabbat lesson on Blog Talk under Kol Elohim. And this is study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is the fifth installment in my six-week series, my six-week journey. And the title of today's lesson is a continuation from last week's family, Dry Bones. Yahweh's Spirit will bring these bones back to life. And Ezekiel 37:10 reads, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." So there's a theme that has been going out these last couple of weeks, and it's kind of confirmed by listening to our spiritual leader's lesson on Jesus the Christ. And one of the things that he mentioned in the midst of it was preparing for war. And as we see things transpire throughout the world, throughout this nation, I mean, here we are again. And the irony of this current situation, it's so sad that another brother is gone, brutally beaten by, quote unquote, law enforcement. And listening to my brother's lesson last night about taskmasters and what they do. And, you know, it's funny that I believe many departments have this as their slogan or motto, to serve and to protect. And the irony is that now what do we do? What do people do with this now? What do the anarchists and the different movements do with this? Because now it's not a police officer of a different color who is doing harm to someone. Now they're the same color. So I guess the question is it color or is it authority? Is it color? Is it the badge? Is it color? Is it the badge? Or is it the lack of respect for human life? Because just because you have the authority, you have the ability to take life, does it mean that you should? You know, so not to get off into all of that, you know, the irony of it all is right now that they're police officers of the same color. So how do you race bait this situation? How do you deal with this situation based on racial lines when it's never been about that? Yes, and so, to some degree, yes. Yes, to some degree, yes, it is. But you would think that someone would look at someone and be able to identify with them on certain levels and take a different stance. But anyway, not getting off into all of that, family. That's the world that we live in. That's the situations that we are faced with time and time again. But there's a solution to all of it. At the end of the day, family, there's a solution out of all of this. And to be quite frank, a solution is coming. It's on the way. So one other psalm I would like to read, family, Psalms 35. And it reads, as my brother always says in his, and it reads, "Plead my cause, O Yahweh, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of Yahweh chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of Yahweh persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in Yahweh, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Yahweh, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul unto fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Master, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the loins. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. Thou hast seen, O Master Yahweh. Keep not silence, O Master. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my mighty one, my master. Judge me, O Yahweh, my Elohim, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Yet Yahweh be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we know there's some deeper messages inside of that, but it still applies to all his sons and all his daughters, because we live in a system that is not meant for us to strive and or succeed and survive. All day long, they conspire against us, but not just us, against the one who we serve. Because this system is not made for him to be its master. What does the opponent fear the most, family? The loss of influence and the loss of power. And he will do anything, and he is doing anything, to keep his power base and to keep his influence. Because without power and without influence over the minds of the people, he's nothing. But if we have Yahweh, if we have the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we have the one who created the universe, created the planet, created us on our side, it's like the word says, who can be against us? They know this, family. They know this. They know the war is coming. They know the darkness is losing its influence. The light is shining brighter and brighter and brighter as we dawn towards that new day. And they're nervous. They're shook. They're doing everything within their power to try to stop it. But it cannot be stopped, because we have a mighty one who don't play checkers. He plays chess. And as was stated, he's a master at warfare. And this is war that we're in, family. Not a physical war, not to go out there with bang bang shoot 'em ups. No, but a spiritual war that we must be prepared for, that we must be girding ourselves up for. We must be sharpening our swords. We must be polishing our bucklers. We got to make sure that we have our head dressings on. The armor for our legs, the armor for our feet. We've got to make sure we got it, family. And we're going to see. We're going to see that hopefully by Yahweh's permission today. So let's recap a little bit from last week, family, okay? Ezekiel, his name means the strength of El. He is not just a prophet, but he is also a priest. And what did we learn last week about priests, about what a priest is supposed to do? You have the prophet who goes out, and if you've been listening to the current series, the prophet is mobile. He has the seed. He goes out and he sows. He goes out, he sows. He goes out on behalf of the master, Yahushua. He goes out and he sows. He sows his word. He sows his word. He sows his word. He's mobile, right? But then you also have now the priest, the Kohen, right? Who, whereas the prophet, the Nabi, he has the seed within him. He's that fruit. Now you have the Kohen, who's not just an administrator. He's just not a religious figure. He is someone who now has to cultivate the seed, allow the seed to take root and become stalk and become strong. So that way now the people can profit from the fruit or the seeds that have been sowed. And what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. Right? So now the prophet goes around and he is dispensing the word of God. The priest now has to open up the word to the people. So that way now they can profit. Remember, the word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the master, out of Elohim. So that word is nourishment. That word is sustenance. That word is what we should all strive to live by. Consume it. Eat it every day the same way we make sure we have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and some of us snacks in between. Eat that word. Chew on that word. Digest that word. Let that word become a part of you, because the words he speaks are spirit and life. Okay? So, he was a prophet. He was a priest. Now, he was also the son of a gentleman named Buzi, was his father. And we see Buzi, when we did the research on Buzi, we came to find out that the parent root of it, Buz, means to hold in contempt, boil, as in the spoil that someone receives from a battle. Okay? So we have to understand now the picture that is being painted for us as we are introduced to Ezekiel, and the time frame that we are introduced to Ezekiel. We're in the Babylonian captivity. They are despoiling us. They have the treasures from Yahweh's holy temple in their possession. They have the people, his holy people, in their possession. They've changed their names, the good names that they were given. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, changed to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the first thing they want to do is put their mark upon you and stamp their name upon you. When you name something, you are now showing you have the mastery over it. You possess it. It's yours. Then they put the men under emasculated men. Why? Because they don't want them to be warriors. They don't want them to be fighters. They don't want them to be part of an army. Why? Because if you're part of an army, you will eventually pose a threat to them. That's why the Egyptians subdued us the way they did, beat us brutally. Now, what's different about them is they allowed us to keep our identity, but they didn't teach us our history. This is why Moshe had to come along, and Yahweh used him to teach us our history all the way back from Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashemayim, Wa'et, Ha'aretz, all the way down until the very last word in the book of Devarim. Because they weren't going to teach us that in Egypt. If you know your history, then you know where you're coming from. As Bob Marley said, then you won't be asking me, who the H-E double hockey sticks do I think I am? Because if I know who I am, if I know my history, if I know from where I descend, which is very important, then you can't tell me anything about me because I know where I come from. And that's part of the blessing and the beauty of us totally losing our identity. Because guess what? Because we are an unidentifiable people, sure, some of us may be able to trace some of our lineage back, you know, mother, grandfather, great-grand, and go all the way back. But guess what? There is a finite point. It ends at some point. And it's either going to stop at where we were enslaved, where we were in bondage, and that's it. And the truth of the matter is some of us cannot go back too far because guess what? Each time we were interchanged between one slave master to the next, from one auction house to the next, if you were Mr. Johnson's at one point and he sold you to Mr. Brown, then Mr. Brown, you were Mr. Brown's now. And if there were records that were destroyed, you have no way to go back. But that's the blessing in the curse, and that we don't know who exactly we are. Save, because the blood lineage doesn't matter. There's only one blood lineage that really matters, one bloodline that matters. It stopped at Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach. So now, the only thing we have left to identify on the scriptures and what the scripture said that we would lose our identity. So now the only identifying factor is him. We can't take pride in four parents, some of which caused that sin, that final sin that caused us to be dispersed. He wants us to focus on him and him alone as our daddy. And as our brother. Then we looked at bones. Yabesh. I'm lying to you. Not bones. Bones is atzam. Bones is atzam. Right? And atzam means the foundation, the structure, the base. Because that's the first thing that has to be reestablished among us as a people. That foundation has to be brought back. And what is that foundation that we're going to stand upon? Well, the chief cornerstone, which is who? Yahushua HaMashiach. The stone that the builders refused has become the chief cornerstone. So that is the foundation now. And he said to Peter, he said, thou art Kepha, you're a stone. But on me, I am this rock. Upon this rock, the foundations of this new thing which I am reestablishing. Yes, that's a contradiction in terms. It's a new thing, but he's reestablishing something upon himself. That new covenant, which was based off of the quote-unquote old covenant. It's just a renewal to the contract. It's an addendum to the contract. That's all it is. Because Israel as a nation, quote-unquote nation, was never casted away. However, now it had to be done away with through blood lineage, at least the old blood lineage coming from father, this father, this son, this father, this son, this father, this son. Now it's only through the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach. That's what establishes this now as Yisrael. So the foundation had to be laid, right? But then we also talked about what it meant to be dry. And forgive me, that's yabesh. A foul, stinking odor, something that has rotten, something that everything that made it wholesome is gone away. So one of the things that we have to understand about the Father and how he leads and guides, Yahweh always starts with the goal in mind. If you ever heard of the seven habits of highly effective people, this is where he got it from. Yahweh, from the very beginning, the very first prophecy, he said, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to put enmity between the woman and the serpent. His seed versus her seed. And the serpent would bruise the woman's seed heel, but that heel would destroy his head. So from the very beginning, he said, look, I'm going to destroy the serpent. I'm going to cut it. I'm going to smash his head. This is why there was just two of them there. And he said, all right, plan in effect. Time to execute said plan. And we may be 6,000 plus years into it at this point. We don't know. There's no calculation. We don't know a date. That's why he just wants us to sit and watch and pay attention to the signs. We ain't putting no date on it. But we have to observe. We have to have keen spiritual eyes, keen spiritual ears to see what is going on in this world, but not make rash assumptions. But to be steadfast and be obedient to Shema, to listen, and to Shema, to guard. All right, family. I'm going to start with this. Genesis 1:26 reads, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Elohim, Genesis 1:27, created man in his own image, in the image of Elohim, created him, created he him, male and female, created he them. Let's move on to dry bones, family. We're going to Ezekiel. We're going to start in the 37th chapter, first verse. And again, it reads, and the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And let's not forget what we learned in Ezekiel 1:3 last week about his encounter with Ha-Debar, Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. This is the entity that is still, and you know, reflecting on the Aleph Bet, the beauty of the Hebrew pictographic form, and the fact that we have a head, we have an eye, we have a mouth, we have a hand, we have the open palm, we have the foot, we have all these different parts of the body encompassed within the word. But you know, but outside of those letters, we have the teeth. Outside of those letters, guess what? All the ones that show the outward appearance of the body, you know what the other letters reveal? The innards, the wrapping of the body, how those other letters encompass all those letters that represent the body, the resh, the head, the ayin, the eye, the pay, the mouth, the yad, the arm, and hand, the cough, the open palm. But all those other letters within there surround the body. They encompass the rest of the body. They're part of the inner. They're part of the spirit. They're part of everything that makes up the total human being. But each one of those letters that represent the body have to do with movement, have to do with intellect, have to do with observation, have to do with speaking. All the letters that represent the body deal with action. The open palm, the arm, the foot, the head. Every one of those letters deal with action within the body. But anyway, sorry. Again, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O master Yahweh, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Shema, listen, be obedient to HaDebar Yahweh. Who is HaDebar Yahweh? Yahushua HaMashiach. As my brother stated, once there was the testimony of Yahweh Elohim, but now there's the testimony of Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. So us in this era, us in this time, that's who we need to be obedient to. And I hope y'all been listening to Jesus the Christ. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. So when he says, prophesy upon these bones, speak Yahushua unto these bones. Start getting them linked with the Son, because that testimony is the prophetic voice. He holds the prophecy in his voice. 37:5. Isn't that what he said? He said, check this out, family. He said, just as Moshe held up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, if I, this is Yahushua saying, if I, Yahushua HaMashiach, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Are we lifting him up enough? Is the question. Is he being raised high enough for the people? Because remember the situation in the wilderness. The people had to look upon it. They had to, as those fiery serpents came out, those adders came out and they were biting people. And it was taking them out. Yahweh instructed them, lift up that rod, lift up that rod. And the people had to keep their eyes on it. And as long, how is it if they kept their eyes on it, they were able to live? Do we understand? Do we see the spiritual connotation in that? And why Yahushua even had to mention that? Why he had to reiterate that? And let people know that if you want to live, you have to be focused on me. I have to be lifted up. If this movement, quote unquote, movement is to take place, that a lot of people are claiming to be a part of, this quote unquote Hebrew Israelite movement, the reawakening of a nation. But everybody, one, ain't believing in Yahushua. Two, and if you do believe in the Messiah, there's controversy and confusion surrounding the name. When the scriptures say Hebrew Israelite, there's only one name under heaven by which man can be saved. And he gave us that name. It's spelled out for us in scripture. There's a whole book on it in the Tanakh. But there's controversy among the name of the Savior for those who believe. It shouldn't be so. So when we see our situation and we see that things aren't changing, well, we, as per usual, par for the course, status quo for Israel, we are to blame. As Daniel said in his prayer, folly belongs to us. And the sad part about it is we don't understand how much we are intertwined as a people. If we are all supposed to be part of one body, and as we go through this chapter, we'll see that we are all supposed to be linked up as one body. How is that going to take place if we're not of one mind and speaking the same thing? Anyway, 37:5, family. Thus saith the Master Yahweh unto these bones. Thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Let's pause there for a second. I don't want to rush. I don't want to move too fast. He said, 37:5, thus saith the Master Yahweh unto these bones. Who is saying it? The Master Yahweh. Who is he being led and guided by the hand by? HaDebar Yahweh, also Yahushua HaMashiach. And he's letting us know, first of all, he ain't even start the process yet. He's saying in 37:5, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. But wait a minute, time out, family. Where do we see that in scripture? In the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. When he came back to them, he said, He blew on them and said, receive ye the Ruach HaKodesh. See, it's these little breadcrumbs in the scripture that he said he had to open these up to the apostles after he came back. He said he went through everything in the Torah, the writings, and the prophets that were about him. There's all sorts of breadcrumbs in the scriptures about what Yahuwah. He didn't have to do that. Came across a gem the other day, and I can't take credit for it, but it was amazing to me that, again, he allowed this brother to see this, and I shared it with my brother. I was like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, I just wanted to witness to see if yes, he would agree with it. So it was a brother came across on a video, and he was talking about the woman that was caught in adultery by the Pharisees, right? And, you know, y'all know the situation where he said he sat and he wrote on the ground, right? And there's been different people that said, oh, well, he was writing their sins that they had committed with him. Said he wrote with his finger. Why did he write? Why specifically say he wrote with his finger? How were the Ten Commandments? How was the Torah given? It said it was written with the finger of Elohim. So when he got down on the ground and he started to write on the ground, he's like, how y'all going to school me on what I done wrote? I wrote the Torah. I wrote this for Moshe with my own finger. And I'm trying to write it for y'all too, but y'all ain't listening. Y'all hard of hearing because why? Y'all under the influence of the seed of the serpent. Your daddy is the opponent, so you can't understand these things that I'm doing. But when he sat there and he wrote on the ground, he's letting them know, I'm writing the Torah. I'm writing down the part right here where it talks about forgiveness. And he said to him, okay, well, if you're without sin, go ahead, throw a stone at her. But who was that woman caught in adultery? None other than Israel as a nation. But the command is to go. Go, woman, but don't do that sin no more. We as a nation have to stop committing this idolatry, this harlotry, and get back to what his finger wrote on those stones. Anyway, so I keep getting off on these tangents, family, forgive me. 37:6. Okay, so 37:5. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. He's letting them know this is the end game. This is my goal. This is why. Bereshit, bara, Elohim, et Hashemayim, et Haaretz, the Aleph, the Tov, the first and the last. He's letting us know everything about me is, what does the Tov stand for, family? The mark. The mark that a person would use, the mark that the farmer would use as the goal when he was sowing seed so that he would have the cow or the bull that was tilling the ground for him, he would walk that line so that way the seed could properly be sown. And it's amazing how Yahweh put that together. The Aleph being the ox head, the Tov being that goal, that the sign for the goal that the ox had to travel, the first letter and the last letter, letting us know from the very beginning, I had a goal. This is why I am the Aleph, the Tov. I have a plan from the beginning. And as it says in Isaiah, revealing the end from the beginning. I'm letting y'all know. So what do we know about the end time, family? He wins. Simple as that. But we just have to hold on and believe and let him do his work. So he says, I'm going to cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. So he's letting you know, this ain't impossible for me. I done did this before. Let's continue. 37:6 reads, and I will lay sinews upon you. Okay, so the first thing, we talked about this last week, and let's just look at it again. What are the sinews, right? It's the. Let's look at it first in the Hebrew. It is ge'id, right? Probably from 15:17 in the Hebrew. A thong, by analogy, a tendon, a sinew, right? We talked about it last week, so we didn't need to go in again. It's what's going to connect the muscles to the body at this point, right? Okay. So that's the first part of the process. That's the first step of the process, right? The bones, the foundation. Now he's got to start connecting things to the foundation. And he says, I will bring flesh upon you. Let's look at flesh. Because we want to understand this process and understand why Abba is doing it the way he is doing it. Okay. Now, it's Hebrews 13:20 in that verse. And the word is basar from Hebrews 13:19. Flesh from its fleshiness, by extension, the body, a person, also by euphemism. Dupudenda. The adults should know what that means. Of a man, body, fat, lean, flesh, fleshed, kin, mankind, nakedness, self-kin, right? So let's not stop there. Let's dig a little further. And I found this part to be very interesting about the flesh now. 13:19 reads, a primitive root properly to be fresh, that is full, rosy, figuratively, cheerful, to announce glad news. What is that? The gospel. That's the gospel. So after you start to bring the bones and the structure together, lay the foundation down upon the chief cornerstone for those who he has called to do that, because now remember, the Kohen helps produce the stalk. The stalk is the structure and the foundation of the plant. The bones are the structure and the foundation of the body. So now first he was put, after he attaches the sinews, the connecting tissue, that little tendon that connects the tissue, now the good news has to start going out. What is the good news, family? One, that Yahushua is Mashiach. Two, that Yahushua HaMashiach is raised from the dead. Three, that Yahushua HaMashiach has redeemed us. Four, that Yahushua HaMashiach has gone to prepare a place for us. And five, he's coming back for us and to bring us into communion with the Father. Hence, why we painstakingly go through Shabbat to Shabbat, from holy day to holy day, from the first holy day all the way into the last, Shemini Atzeret, the last great day, which points to the eighth day. And what have we learned about it? Absolutely nothing, except that it's supposed to be a holy convocation. No instructions other than sacrifice and holy convocation. No instruction other than that. Why? Because the scriptures say, I have not seen, ye have not heard. All that he has laid for us. So it ain't with us. We ain't going to be able to see. We ain't even going to be able to. It says, I have not seen, ye have not heard. Neither has entered the heart of man the thing that he has prepared for us. And what did he promise us? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, family. But first, I got to do this work with you. Right? Hold on. Oh, man, I done lost my place. Forgive me. Oh, come back to me. Come back to me. Flesh. Right? It's flesh. Okay. Now, again, now when you look at it in the 13:20 in the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, it says, basar, flesh, good. When good news is brought, a feast with meat is prepared. What is the first feast that we keep, family? Pesach. So he's letting us know part of us bringing together is getting in line with these feast days. What is the chief feast day that points to Yahushua? The one that starts it all, Pesach. And Pesach comes with a promise and also an admonishment and also a curse. If you don't do it, you ain't got no part of me. But if you do it, you are part of me. He took the matzah, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. But remember when he told them about that, a lot of disciples couldn't understand that. They was like, nah, we ain't down with that. I don't understand that. We ain't about this cannibalistic life. That ain't part of the Torah, but you misunderstood. You misunderstood. He said, I was that manna from heaven. I'm that unleavened bread from heaven. I'm that sustenance. I am that for you. So he says, when good news is brought, a feast with meat is prepared. Hold up, time out, time out, time out, time out. When Abraham got that visitor, that man and two angels came to visit him, right? What did he do? What did Father Abraham do? He prepared. He said, go get the fattened ram. We going to eat. I got me some visitors, three special visitors. Isn't that what he did? Come on, family. So he's letting us know, don't just look at it as he's bringing a body together. He's not just bringing a body together, a body of believers together. But at the same time, he's also giving us clues into how this body of believers is going to come together. One of the things Yahushua said, I must keep this feast. I got to do this. And even when Hasatan entered into Peter and told him, don't go up, Lord, he said, get thee hence. I got to do this. I got to make this happen. So he's building this body together. He's got to be the architect, as he was always the architect. When he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, this is what we're getting a witness of right now. Right now, of how Adam was constructed. He's letting us know not just the physical process, but also the spiritual process. He made them. This was another gem that I got from the conversation I had with my rabbi last week. He had mentioned it and didn't even know that that was the question I wanted to ask him, but he just told it. That was the last comment he made to me in regard to let us make man in our image. And after he probably doesn't remember the conversation, but I do. It's etched in my soul. That was a great conversation. I hadn't had a conversation with him like that in a while. And for him to just confirm was like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So as this dry bones is being constructed, we're getting, who's there with him? It's Hadabar, Yahweh, is taking him by the hand. And it's the prophet. So the prophet is getting the witness of how man was being made in his image and after his likeness. So again, we read back to 37:6. And y'all probably saying, well, you taking a long time to get through this. Can't rush through it. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin. We're going to look at skin. What is skin? Okay. All right. And I will cover you with skin. And it's from Hebrews 5:7-8:5. It is ore, but not ore with olive ore, or with the iron ore, iron, yod, resh, right? And it says pronounced ore. From 5:7-8:3, skin as naked by implication, hide, leather, skin, right? And so let's go to, it's embedded in 5:7-8:3, and it's a primitive root, it's still ore, primitive root, to bear, be naked. Now let's take a gander into the Hebrew lexicon, ancient Hebrew lexicon, right? It's ore, the iron and the resh. The pictograph of the iron is a picture of the eye. The resh is a picture of the man. Combined, these means see a man. When the enemy is captured, he is stripped of his clothes to the skin and carefully washed. Hold up, family. Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Wasn't there a prophecy that said that would happen to us? Isn't that what they did to Yahushua too, family? Didn't they strip him down to his undergarments? Didn't they do that to him? See, all of this is connecting to Yahushua HaMashiach. So as my brother always says about getting naked, see, when you get naked, you're getting connected to Yahushua HaMashiach. Why? Now you're being seen as a man. Think about the ultimate warrior in scripture. Well, there's a few, but the ultimate warrior was King David, right? Of course, we had Azariah, we had Benaniah, we also had Yehuda, Maccabee, right? But when we think about the ultimate warrior, and David bore his soul to, he bared his soul to us. He let us know all. He said, if he was grieving, he let us know, my tears soaked my pillow all night. If he was happy, I sang praises unto Yahweh. He let us know everything that was going on. He got emotional. He was a man filled with emotion. He wasn't just a warrior. He just wasn't a killer. He let us even know, hey, when I lusted after a woman, I had to get her. When I saw Bathsheba, I had to get her. But guess what? The child that he ended up having, the second child he ended up having with Bathsheba, is in the lineage of Rabbi Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. So it was meant for him to have Bathsheba, because that is part of Yahushua's lineage. Don't take my word for it. Go through Matthew. Yeah, Matthews. So anyway. All right. So skin. Can we see what skin is? And then he says, I will put. Sorry, I lost my place for a second, family. Bear with me. He said, I will put breath. Oh, we know what that is. Hebrews 7307 from 7306. Wind by resemblance, breath, that is a sensible or even violent exhalation, figuratively life, anger, unsubstantiality, by extension, a region of the sky, by resemblance, spirit, but only of a net of a rational being, including its expression and functions, air, anger, blast, breathe, cool, courage, mind, quarter, side, spirit, spiritual, tempest, vein, whirlwind, windy. Okay, so he's letting us know, excuse me, family, that he's putting all of that in him. And why even mention emotion? Why even mention an emotion? Anger. Why even mention that? Because that's all part of the spirit of a man. Emotion. Like the word for anger in Hebrew, I believe, is off, right? And what it symbolizes is, because when you're overcome with passion, your breathing gets hard. Your breathing gets strong. But let's look at the, let's not waste the time and not look at the Hebrew pictograph, 7306. It's the resh and the ket. The pictograph, the resh, is a picture of the head of a man. The ket is a picture of a wall that separates the inside from the outside combined. These means man outside. The responsibility of the nomad outside of the tent include the feeding, watering, and caring for the livestock. Who was the shepherd? Now, my brother back in the summer brought out, I believe it was Ezekiel either 32 or 34, where he talks about he is the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd? None other than Yahushua HaMashiach. So when he's breathing into us, he's letting us know, I'm breathing. I'm shepherding you. You're my livestock. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. That was the commission he gave to Peter. I hope y'all following me, family. I really do. And if I'm losing anybody, please forgive me. That's not the intention. If anything is not clear, please let me know, family. And he says, and ye shall live. 24:21, and that is chaya, a primitive root, compared 24:21, I hope I said that, 23:31 and 24:24, to live, whether literally or figuratively, causatively, to revive, to keep, leave, make alive, certainly give, promise, life, let, suffer to live, nourish up, preserve alive, quicken, recover, repair, restore to life, revive, by extension, Elohim, save alive, life, surely be whole. So the only way the nation is going to live, family, he said, the words I speak are spirit and life. The only way we are going to live, family, is through Yahushua HaMoshiach. And this is the part I love right here. The last clause of this says, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. See, family, if you have come into this relationship with him, this is his doing. Don't take for granted what he said to Jeremiah. It was I who made you and formed you in the womb. He's letting you know. This is how I brought you together. Let's continue on, family. Again, Abba Yah is giving us a glimpse into how he created Adam when we go through this. All right, 37:6 says, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. That's the end game. That's what he wants. After he goes through all this work with the body, this is what he wants. This is the most important part of this whole process, is that ye shall know that who he is, Yahweh. So here we get into 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He was obedient. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. Remember what we read about this last week. He's calling us out. He's calling us out. That noise was the call, was him calling us out. And that shaking was the commotion that's being made. And as a matter of fact, listen. I'm going to be redundant because it's important that we understand that noise. He says, Cole, we're just going to go straight to it. The pictograph is the calf, is a picture of the sun at the horizon and the gathering of the light. The lament is a picture of the shepherd's staff representing authority. So once we hear his voice, once we hear his name, now he wants us to be under his authority. And once we start to come under his authority, guess whose authority we are no longer under? My goodness, my God, my goodness, my God. Oh, people, I hope y'all listening. The adoption, that's what the adoption was all about. That once he adopts us, we are no longer under Hasatan's authority because we are born into this world under his authority. And as he calls us out, as we hear his voice and we listen, we shema, we obey his voice. Now we are back under his authority. This is what he's trying to do. But you think Satan wants to see that happen? You think the opponents want to see that happen? No. No. Why? Because it's going to cause a shaking. Ra'ash. That's the word for shaking. 7494. From 7493, vibration, bounding, uproar, commotion, confused noise, earthquake, fierceness, quaking, rattling, rushing, shaking. From a primitive root, 7493, a primitive root to undulate as the earth, the sky, etc. Also a field of grain, particularly through fear, reverence, specifically to spring as a locust. Make afraid, huh? As the noise and the shaking starts, who's becoming? First of all, y'all remember that earthquake? Do y'all remember that brother was in the middle of an interview when that brief earthquake happened and he ran off the screen? When that brief earthquake happened, he jetted off the screen. So when we start seeing this ra'ash as the shaking of the earth in the Hebrew lexicon, 7493, ra'ash as in the shaking of the earth, to shake, tremble, the demons know their end and they tremble. Isn't that what the scriptures say? They know the end. So as they start to see these things start to happen, guess what they're doing? They're panicking. Why do you think people are under the mental distress that they're under? Because the system is crumbling. That's what's causing everybody to stress after the pandemic. The system that they had relied on, the system that they had put so much faith in, it started to crumble. So now people are in a panic. The people are in a panic. These spirits are in a panic because the system that they are so desperately trying to hold on to, it's surely fading away. And it said the bones came together. The bones came together. Let's look at that word. It's karab, karab. And I'm not going to rush through it. A primitive root to approach, 7126. A primitive root to approach causatively, to bring near. Again, out of all the things the brother said, he said a lot of crazy stuff. But one of the things that he said, he really desired to see that his people coming together the way those other people come together, the Yahudim, and that he wanted to see the Yahudim come together and start keeping Shabbat as others keep Shabbat. Start coming together and sharing in the heritage. Isn't that what we have? Or rather, what we had, what they have? They're dwelling in the tents of Shem. And he said, the brother was like, I want to come back to dwelling in the tents of Shem. And he said a lot of crazy stuff too. But a primitive root, back to it. To approach causatively, to bring near for whatever purpose, cause to approach, cause to bring forth, bring near, cause to come near not, cause to draw near not, go near, be at hand. Ooh, how did he rescue Yisrael? With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. What do you see in every movie where the hero says to the heroine, heroine, not the drug, the female counterpart of the hero. He says, come with me if you want to live. The movie with the Disney movie. He said to her, come with me. He said to Jasmine, come with me if you want to live. In Terminator, the Terminator goes to Sarah Connor and says, come with me if you want to live. The man that was sent before said, come with me if you want to live. And they put out their hand. The brother always used the illustration as Lady Singers of Blues, where Billy Dee puts out his hand and says, take my hand. Basically, you want my hand to fall off? Put your hand in my hand, girl. Come here. Let me take care of you. To be at hand, to join, be near, offer, present, produce, make ready, stand, to take. Y'all see this, man? I got to contain my excitement because as Abba is showing me this in my mind, I'm seeing the grand picture of it all, family. All that many of us have spent our life doing, all that we are dedicating our life to, seeing all of these things come to fruition at some point is going to make it all worth it. It's his work, and it's going to make it all worth it for him, family. So that's why he wants us to stay the course, and this is why we're going through what we're going through. If you're going through trials and tribulations, just read Job and know at the end of Job what the purpose of the trial and tribulation you are going through for, because he wants us to know him. He chastens those that he loves. He humbles those that he loves because he needs a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what he needs first. After David did what he did, every time David sinned and Yahweh beat him down, he was able to come back mightier. Because why? Because now he understood why Yahweh put him through what he did, what he put him through. All right. And it says now, 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. But he already said, I'm going to breathe in it. So right now, you just got an empty, naked body. You just got an empty, naked body. Sure, it's fully formed, bones, sinews, flesh, the muscles and the tendons and the skin is all wrapped around it, but what good is it if there's no life in it? So look at this, y'all. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon him, and the skin covered him, covered them above, but there was no breath in him. I'm sorry, in them. But when he formed Adam, there was no breath in him either until he did what? 37:9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the master Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Why did he say prophesy to the four winds? Why does he say he's calling it from the four winds? Didn't he? Think of the four winds as the four corners. Aren't we scattered to the four corners of the earth? As my spiritual leader shared with me last week, see, this is why the sower's going out to sow seed. He's saying, let them grow together. Because the true word is going to come up with the false word. But what is going to happen at the end? He said, I'm going to send out my angels, and he's going to gather them up into the barns. And after he gathers them up into the barns, he's going to separate the wheat, and he's going to separate the tares. And the wheat, he's going to put in for a special purpose. And the tares, he said, gather them up and just burn them because they're useless. But he said, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Master Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What was the first thing that we learned, family, about what Yahweh took out of Egypt? What did he take out of Egypt? Exodus 6:26 read, these are that Aaron and Moses to whom Yahweh said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. What army? What army? What army? Because at that point, they were nothing but slaves. But what are we right now, family? What are we right now in this system? And don't think of slaves as in we're not redeemed by Yahushua. We are most certainly redeemed by Yahushua once we believe upon him. But we are still bound. We are still trapped in the system. But guess what? We are behind enemy lines for a purpose. Why? Because my spiritual leaders, we were talking last week. What a wonderful conversation. I'm still feeding off of that. We are these sleeper cells. We are his battle axe. We are his sword. He's a man of war. What is he ready to do? He's preparing us for this grand battle. But remember, we're not warring against flesh and blood. We ain't going up against no government entities. We ain't going to try to fight no power. We ain't fighting the power like that. This is how we fight in the power, through obedience. Through obedience to the word of Yahweh, by doing what he asks us to do, by doing what he commands us to do. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Yisrael. Behold, they say our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. We are cut off for our parts. See, family. They think they did a work unto us. They think that they have stopped the work. And when I say us, I'm not just meaning us in the sense of you and I. Yes, we are included in that. But they thought they could stop Yahweh from doing the work that he was going to do with this nation called Yisrael, the Yisrael of Yah. Let's look at this word just so you understand what they're trying to do. It says, we are cut off. This is what the enemy is saying now, family. And it's from Hebrews 15:04, and the word is gazar, gazar, primitive root, to cut down or off, figuratively to destroy, divide, exclude. What are we being excluded from, family? Excluded or decide, cut down, off, decree, divide, snatch. See, he thinks that he could change times and laws. He thinks that he could trick the mighty one into a new covenant. And you can't. You can't. Yahweh is so in love. He is so in love. And excuse me for saying it, with that harlot. In love with her. Yahushua's closest confidant. They did not have a relationship outside of the word was Mary. Oh, excuse my French, a hoe. Miriam, a loose woman, a woman that used her body for money, for other men's delight. Isn't that what he compared Israel to in Hosea? And he said, lo ami, you ain't my people. And I can't remember the other son's name, but it had another spiritual meaning. I said, y'all ain't my people. But he still took care of that woman. Hosea was commanded. Hosea, salvation was commanded to take care of that woman. Why? And it was his wife. It wasn't his concubine. It wasn't a confidant. It was his wife. And he was commanded to take care of her, even though she was in bed with another man, but he couldn't keep her. This man that she was in bed with was incapable of sustaining her, a loose woman. Hasatan is, the opponent is incapable of taking care of Yisrael. Even though those who don't know any better are fooled into thinking so, they think the God of this world got them through their riches. And I gotta retract something I said last week about LJ Era 8 and his coach. It was his brother who's a coach of a college team that took the entire team, the Pontifus Maximus. But what the brother did, his brother that coaches the NFL team, took his star's jersey, signed it, and had his star sign it, and granted that to the Pope. So I had to retract that. I had to fact check myself, so forgive me. But we see it, right? He's not able to sustain all of this. He has took this beautiful planet and turned it into a junkyard. He can't sustain it. He can't even keep his own woman. Because doesn't the beast at some point turn on the harlot that's riding, that's sitting upon many waters? Doesn't she eventually get turned on? Why, the system ain't going to want nothing to do with her. She's too costly. And he don't love her. He don't care for her. He's just using her. But look at what he's doing to hip-hop culture. I can't remember the lyrics to this song. Started in the park, something in the dark, right? It has become, what has started in the hood amongst a bunch of poor people that lived in deplorable conditions has reached to the highest levels of world society. Everything is based on this gutter culture. Everything. Sports would not exist. This is why to this day, I do not admire number 42 for what he did. Because he single-handedly destroyed all the prosperity that we could have had if we kept our own. I get sick of all these brothers begging the man for money. He needs you more than you need him. And I agree with the brother holding out. Get every penny that you can. If that's what you want, you deserve it. You earned it. Because for every, it's like what Master P said, if they're going to give me $1 million, I know I'm worth at least 50. He knew his worth. So he didn't go to the man begging for nothing. He started his own. What would happen if we all had that mindset? If they all had that mindset, say we're divested. Look what happened once we divested from Major League Baseball. Once Major League Baseball no longer became popular among us, it started to decline. And then as the NFL and the NBA became more popular amongst us, it is now one of the bigger than soccer. Soccer may have like the worldwide thing, because everybody in the world plays quote-unquote football, F-U-T-B-O-L, not F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L. That's the world's biggest sport. But guess what? Little by little, it's creeping into that territory. Little by little. And the only reason why it hasn't become as popular as it is because it requires a lot of money, requires a lot of investment. Pele recently passed. And you know where he first started kicking around? A paper bag. That's how he became so good at soccer. Pele. Didn't even have an actual football when he started. I think it was like a paper bag or a stocking that he used and stuffed it up. So back to Hebrews 15:04. A cutting or separation into two or more pieces. So when he says cutting them off, that's what he's doing. He's dividing us. He's doing exactly to us what the legend said that Shem did to Nimrod, and it worked effectively. Andrade. And again, shameful. We are cut off and shameful. I'm going to go back and read that again, 37:11. And it reads, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones, our structure are shameful, and our hope is lost. And we are cut off, separated from our parts. I got to stop again, and we're going to go over that word lost, forgot to go over that. Forgive me, family. And it's from Hebrews 6, and it's abad, a primitive root, properly to wander away. That is to lose oneself by implication, to perish causatively, destroy, break, destroy, destruction, to not escape, to fail, to lose, cause, to make perish, spend. By extension, and surely take, be undone, utterly be void, have no way to flee. So they think that we are utterly void. They think that we are cut off, that we are separated. That's the whole house of Israel. That's what they believe. 37:12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Got to stop again, family. Forgive me, but this is important, right? When he says, I will open your graves, it's Hebrews 6:605. It's two words here. Hebrews 6:605. We're going to look at the first one, patak, right? A primitive root to open wide, literally or figuratively, speaks specifically to loosen, begin, plot. Who opened up the graves also when he died, family? Okay. To loosen, begin, plow. I said that they were, what, I think over 500 or 5,000 people. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, family. I don't know the exact number, but it said the graves were opened up when he resurrected. Anyway, a primitive root to open wide, literally or figuratively, specifically to loosen, begin, plow, carve, plow, carve, appear, break forth, draw out, let go, free, engraven, to loose self, to be set, open, an opening to put off, to ungird, to unstop, have vent. And the other word is et. He said, yeah, I will open up your graves. What graves, family? Okay, let's look at the graves. And I had to remember this. Now, remember, what was the one thing Uncle Joseph asked to take place after he had expired in Egypt? What was the one thing he asked? Please, whatever you do, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Don't let my bones stay in Egypt. Y'all remember Daniel's lesson on that? Because they embalmed him. But he said, please, whatever you do, get my bones up out of there. And isn't that one of the things that Moshe did? They made sure that they fulfilled that ask from Uncle Joseph to get his bones out of there. And they got the bones out of there. Why? Why was it important to get them bones? Again, it's from 6912, Kibra, a sepulcher, a burying place, a grave, a sepulcher, right? And when we look at it from the Hebrew lexicon, the act and place of burying the dead, from the cob, the coffin, the bet, gathering one to the forefathers in a cavity. I hope y'all getting it with me, family. And let's go back and read 37:12 again. 37:12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. He's resurrecting the dead, or what seems to be dead. But see, unlike Lazarus, who was only gone for a couple of days, he is doing what seems to be impossible, family. He is doing what seems to be absolutely impossible. But here's what he intends to do, family. So just hold on. I will open your graves. Back to 37:12. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your grave and bring you into the land of Yisrael. And they hijacked the scripture when they took that parcel of land in 1948, they hijacked this. And you have a lot of people who sincerely believe that that was the fulfillment of this prophecy. That's a misinterpretation. I'm not even going to call it a lie. I'm just going to say it's a misinterpretation. Okay? Because that's not it. Eddie Murphy said, that's not it. 37:13. And he says, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. The problem is they don't call on him either. And this is the point that has to be emphasized. 37:13. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your land. Then shall ye know that I am Yahweh, that I, Yahweh, have spoken and have performed it, saith Yahweh. And I'm going to stop there, family. If anybody has any questions, any concerns, any misunderstanding about what was stated, please do not hesitate to reach out to your brother and to give him, give me or give any one of the brothers a call if there's anything that was made unclear or misunderstood or anything that I may have said wrong, family. Please, by all means, reach out to your brother, Ahav El. I would love to talk. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Abiyah, Toda Rabbah, for the revelation of your word. Toda Rabbah, Father, for good teachers. Toda Rabbah, Father, for your Torah. Toda Rabbah, Father, for your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Toda Rabbah, Father, for leading us and guiding us. Toda Rabbah, Abiyah, for your Ruach HaKodesh. Toda Rabbah, for preserving our lives today. Toda Rabbah, Abiyah, for all that you have done, all that you continue to do. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, your loving kindness. And Father, as we go throughout this week, we ask, Father, that you hedge us up, Father. And as my brother used to say, and still says, keep us from any hurt, from any harm, from any danger, Father. And Father, if for some reason obstacles come our way, Father, let us be humble enough to reach out and cry out to you, Abba Yah. And lift our arms and lift our faces up to you, Father. And let us not forget, Father, that you chasten those that you love, Father. And we just ask, Father, for your forgiveness for the sins, Father, that we commit knowingly and the ones that we commit unknowingly. But in particular, Father, the ones that we commit knowingly, the ones that we are fully at fault for, Father, we ask for your forgiveness, Father, to protect us, Father, and set us back on the right path, Father, so that we can be in the right relationship with you and your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, and with the brethren, Father. I pray, Father, that your will, your divine will be done, Father, that we as a people, Father, start to humble ourselves before your son, before the king who sits upon the throne, Father, that we, Father, follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes, Father. And Father, even though it may not be many numbers, Father, let us be satisfied with the little numbers that we have, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of your son, Yahushua, Father. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Gadol Yahweh, Meholal Meod, Vair Eloheinu, Har Karasho, Yife Nof, Meshoshal Haaret, Hatzion Yakelti, Safon Kiryat Melek Rav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav. Greatly to